Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm speaking with Sarah Carney and Danielle Harris as we talk communications. And I tell you what, you all are really just enlightening me tremendously about this profession, which is so much a part of everyday life anyway. Before we get to how it weighs into life in general, if y'all could talk with us more about the profession from the perspective of what it takes to become a communication specialist, and share with us, along with that, what the job outlook is for the profession.
Yeah, so I think as you can kind of see from, you know, mine and Danielle's experience, there's really a lot of different ways into this profession. But if you know, if you're coming out of high school and you already know that this is what you want to do, you know, you can definitely get, you know, a bachelor's degree in something like journalism, communications, English. That'll, you know, put you on the track. But if you're, you know, already in university and you're studying something totally different, and, you know, that's something that you like, you know, I'd say, you know, you can definitely keep doing that if you want to. But there are a lot of opportunities out there to get experience. And, you know, you can write for your university magazine. You can see if there's even opportunities at your local paper. And, you know, Danielle was mentioning that she, you know, worked at a radio station. There's, you know, stuff like that. I mean, there's really all sorts of things out there that you can do even just starting out. A lot of people, you know, they want help, and even just something like social media. If you can help out with that, if you have any of those talents existing, there's a place for you to get that experience.
That's interesting. And so Danielle, is Sarah mentioned writing for the school paper, writing for your local paper. Are those something that you would get through internships? Is it something that you would do strictly on a volunteer basis, strictly for the experience? How would you approach it?
I would approach it both ways, either through internship or through volunteer. And everything Sarah said is absolutely true. You know, even if it's like, you know, if your church has a social media page, see if you can help out that way. Or if another little local nonprofit has a newsletter, try to help them that way. Or, you know what, you can even maybe create your own blog. Try to build up something where your writing skills and your social media skills can get stronger. There's tons of workshops and seminars out there that you can get the training and, yeah, just get the necessary experience so you can enter the field.
So, Danielle, continue with us. I know that when it comes to things like technology, when it comes to things like auto mechanics, et cetera, a lot of times, more and more, we're finding that students in high school can actually be participating also in a vocational school and have 1 year, maybe even 2 years, an associate's degree under their belt when they graduate from high school. To your knowledge, are there arrangements like this for communications professionals as well?
As far as two-year degrees, you're saying?
Yeah, being able to actually have at least 1 year of vocational or college experience under their belt by the time they graduate from high school.
Those opportunities are out there. And if they're not available at whatever school that you're at, I would try to get it in some way. Because how our society is moving, I really feel every career has to have that type of experience. So it's good to get something like that under your belt.
And very often when you're going into the field, we know that a lot of times potential employers are saying, okay, we're looking for job experience or some kind of experience. Is there typically a minimum amount of experience that they're looking for? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years?
I think that can vary. You know, I do see like 1 to 3 years pretty often. But I think the big thing is just showing that you know how the process works. So, you know, when you get experience writing for like your school paper, let's say, it's really not just about you having that writing experience. It's going through the editorial process and, you know, going through the process of someone critiquing your work and, you know, telling you what edits you need to make and being on a deadline. And so, you know, when you go to a potential employer and you have all of these, you know, clips, as we call them, articles that you've written, you know, you're basically telling them you know how to be on a deadline, you know how to take, you know, criticism well, and you are committed, you know, a committed professional. And so I think that speaks volume. You know, even if you can't make up for it in terms of years of experience, you can certainly, you know, get out there with experience, you know, in writing and social media and that sort of thing.
Definitely.
And that said, you mentioned deadlines. You mentioned that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, when you mentioned it, it reminded me that I've heard a few people in the media field talk about deadlines. I'm curious, are there certain steps that people can take to learn how to manage their lives, manage their time in such a way that they're regularly meeting deadlines without pulling their hair out all the time?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question, because this is a very deadline-driven profession. Sometimes, you know, I'll get calls from the media and they say, you know, we need someone on our show in 2 hours. Who can you get for me? And, you know, it's times like that, you know, you really learn to kind of assess, what's my timeline? What can I do right now and what can wait? And, you know, I think that's a really important skill to have, because sometimes things aren't an emergency. They seem important, but, you know, if I do that, you know, in a few days, will it really make a difference? But there's something I need to do right now, and I need to do that. So I think that's probably my biggest tip, is really learn to kind of assess what is the most pressing need and what is something you can kind of put off a little bit, and learn to kind of manage it in that way. And along with that, I'd say, you know, a lot of people talk about multitasking.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't really believe that's a thing. I mean, I think I would recommend that you focus, you know, all your energy on one thing at a time and just knock it out and, you know, just go wholeheartedly in something, you know, one step at a time, and just kind of knock those things out.
I've read that a lot of professionals, a lot of experts agree with you that multitasking just is not what it's cut out to be. It just doesn't happen. They say people are much less productive. They end up wearing themselves out mentally a lot faster than if they would do what you said, just take on one task at a time, pour your whole heart into it, get it done, and then move on to the next. Danielle, how does it work for you?
Well, thankfully, in our office, we have a software that we use that helps us stay in line, because like Sarah said, you can get hit with all these media requests and it's like, oh my God. And then I get like these requests where I have to write a speech for the provost and all this other stuff. And you really have to figure out, how do I navigate all this? And like exactly what Sarah said, you have to choose what can be done now and what can be delayed, what's an emergency and what can wait. And I think if you get that skill down pat, it helps you stay calm and you can think clearly, especially in times of crisis. You have to know how to juggle all of these balls, but you know, you have to have that skill. You have to have it.
Yeah. So it sounds like one of the words that could kind of sum up what you both have agreed is so critical at managing is learning how to prioritize.
Yeah,
definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are really gaining a lot of insight from these two ladies. Stay with us. There's more to come. And we're going to make this a lot more personal when we come back, because we're going to be taking a look at how we, the people, are communicating. And we're going to be asking the question, can we do better?